Well, I'm going to talk about a real exciting topic this morning. Actually, I don't know why I need to do to jazz this up, but we're talking about elders. And I don't know, maybe you don't think that that's really exciting to talk about. But as I was studying what the Bible says about elders, I thought there's some real interesting things there that we don't often look at. And so I'm going to do kind of an overview. Each of these areas, you could probably take a good bit of time in kind of developing what is being talked about. But this is just going to be a flyby of what it is. What is an elder? Is that a question that I want to look at in an overview. What is an elder? What do they do? Why do we need them? What are they good for? All of those questions. Some of those I'll look at today. And the reason we're looking at this right now is because we have an elder who is going off this year, the end of December. And so next Sunday, you will have an opportunity to nominate a new elder to serve. And so before you do that, I want to give you some idea of what the Bible says about this position, who you should be looking at to nominate, and be thinking and be praying about that. So that's why we're looking at this question. We're going to be, you have a handout in your bulletin, you should have, that you can follow along and maybe make some notes. And there's quite a bit of scripture there. So I'm not going to wait for you to find it. I'm going to refer to a bunch of these scriptures. And feel free to follow up with some of these later if you have questions about them, or feel free to ask me some more questions later as well. We're going to be jumping around a good bit. One of the first references that we find about the appointment of elders is found in the book of Acts, of course, because it's talking about when the early church began. The book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 23. I'm going to start there. It says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. So we have an indication here that Paul and Barnabas, you know, they traveled around planting churches, starting preaching, new believers were established, and then later on they came back through those same areas after those believers had a chance to kind of learn what this is about and start growing in the Lord, and they appointed elders in each of those churches. Another scripture I want to refer to in this idea is Titus chapter 1, verse 5, and this is Paul, of course, speaking to Titus, and he says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So here we also see Paul, he was telling Titus, I want you to go around in each of these places where we have groups of believers. I want you to establish some elders in those locations. Well, our most basic understanding of elders is that they provide some kind of leadership, local leadership, to the church. And we see Paul and Barnabas going back, like I said, to these fledgling churches, and we see Titus being asked to do the same here. I find a couple of things interesting in this process, that these verses that we've read. One is that we see that, in this case, it's not democratic. Often we think of, in our country here, we think of a democratic process where maybe Paul would go to that local group and say, okay, you guys figure out who you want to serve as elders. You know, give me, and we'll vote against that. But we don't see any of that happening. We just see him going along. They came back to these churches, and we see Titus doing the same, and they're just making appointments. They're selecting people out of those groups of believers to serve in this process of elders. And we also, in this, we don't really see, and if you dig deeper, we don't really see any clear structure. We don't see any terms defined. How long are these guys going to serve as elders? It's not clear. How do we bring new elders on? How should new elders come off of that team? There's just not a lot of things said about that in the New Testament. There's not a clear definition of this, or really any leadership structure in specifics. There are general ideas of leadership structure, but no real specifics about how that structure should happen. And the question I had is, what should we take from that? We look at the New Testament and see that there's not any real specifics on structure, how it should happen. What should we think about that? Well, I think it says to us in some ways that leadership structures are needed, but there's really much room for variation in that kind of structure. There may be room for variation in the type of congregation you have, the location, the culture of how leadership structures happen in that culture. So I think we could take from that that there's room for flexibility in this structure. And really, any structure we come up with is largely a man-made structure to deal with leadership. We have a general structure. We know we need elders to give leadership. But beyond that, the specifics of how that occurs seems to be left up to us to figure out, to congregations. So anyways, I thought that was interesting in looking at that. I want to go on to the next question here. Why do we need them? What do they do? Like I said, what are they good for? What are elders good for? What are they for? What are they supposed to do? Now, one thing you'll notice, there's different terms. You go through the New Testament that we see talking about leadership positions. You'll see the term elder is used often. You'll see the term pastor, although does anybody know how often the term pastor is used in the New Testament? At least in the NIV translation. One time that I found, there's one reference to pastor. A lot more references to elders. We'll see the term overseer, that's used quite often. If you have a King James Version, you'll see the term bishop used. So these are a variety of terms that we see used for leadership positions in the church. But if you look over that, it seems pretty clear that these are all talking about a very similar position. There seems to be a wide overlap of this responsibility, that they're very similar in responsibility. And you could almost make the case that they are about the same position, that this idea of an elder, an overseer, one term I didn't mention is used, a shepherd is used also in the New Testament, pastor. So these terms really refer to largely the same set of responsibilities. And I know we often don't think of it that way. It seems in our culture anyways that the word pastor seems to have a significant difference in our minds than what an elder would be doing, but from what I read from Scripture, they're very similar, almost the same thing. Maybe playing some slightly different roles, but having very similar responsibilities. So what do they do? Well, they provide leadership for the church. We talked about that. But what does this look like? Paul gives us some insight here. If we look at Titus chapter 1, verse 9. And this is after Paul has given some qualifications for elders. We're going to dig into that a little later. But I want to look at this verse first. He gives us an idea what it is that elders are to do. He's describing an elder. He says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So I would say one of the primary responsibilities of an elder is to guard the doctrine of the church, to guard what is being taught in the church, both from the pulpit and also what's being taught maybe in small groups or conversations that are occurring, and guard the doctrine to guide people back to the Scripture. What does the Word say? What is it that we have been taught? What are we learning from the Bible? What does it say? And keep people on track as far as what we believe the Bible says and how we're to live our lives and how to understand what God wants for us. So this is a primary responsibility of an elder, to guard that. Now you may ask, well, how does an elder do that? How do they guard the doctrine of the church? I think some of the obvious ways are in a teaching position, that they're actually teaching people in a variety of ways. It could be from the pulpit, it could be in a small group setting, it could just be in a conversation, being able to teach what it is that the Word says, how we should apply it to our lives. We also see here that it says that they're to refute those who oppose it. So it looks to me like maybe a good elder should be one who can step up when he knows that something is being taught incorrectly and say, no, this isn't the way that the Bible says. This isn't how I understand it. This isn't how we should be thinking about it. So an elder really needs to be able to do that, to show leadership in that way. How many of you like to confront issues that you know are wrong? Anybody? How many don't like to confront? Yeah, I got a few hands on that. Yeah, that's a challenging thing, responsibility, to think that an elder has that responsibility. That if he hears something that he feels is not correct, that he would speak to that. And if I was up here saying something that was incorrect, the other elders, their responsibility would be after church. Well, maybe they should stand up and correct me. I don't know. But after church might be better for me. But at least at some point to come to me and say, Rob, you know what? I think you're just a little off base there on how you interpreted that passage. I think you ought to think about it again. And one thing, I'll just bring it up here. I think it's always talking about elders, not really an elder, one elder, but multiple. And I think the reason for that is for this very reason, that also these men who are in this position, they need some accountability. They need other people who can speak into them in a position of authority and say, wait a second, you know, I don't think that's right. There needs to be an opportunity to discuss it, work it out, and figure out what is the correct way to present this teaching. So that's a responsibility an elder has, to guard the doctrine of the church. We see this happening if you look at Acts chapter 15 sometime. We're not going to read that this morning. But Acts chapter 15 and 16, we see this very thing happening. The elders, there's an issue that came up in the church. The church is still a fledgling church at this point. And there were some people that were saying that circumcision was required to be a believer in the church, that you had to be circumcised. And so the elders had to take this issue and they had to discuss it and figure out what their response was going to be to these other people who were teaching this doctrine in the church. And so they met together. That's about all of what chapter 15 is about. It's a big meeting where the elders and leaders of the church come together and they discuss this issue. And maybe that gives you a little idea of another part of what elders do. They get together and meet and they talk about things like this. How should we respond to this? What do you think? What's your view? How do you interpret Scripture in this case? So that's a part of it. Meeting together, discussing things like this, and we see that happening in Acts chapter 15. And we see opinions being given there. We see them coming to a decision, and they all agree on it. And they send that decision out to the churches to say, this is what we've decided and how we should act, how we should respond to this situation. Read up on that sometimes. It's an interesting study on early functioning of elders in the church. All right. Preaching and teaching. Are elders supposed to do this? Well, there's some hints to that elders are... how can you guard the doctrine of the church? Well, one way is in preaching and teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Mixed in with the qualifications there, Paul says that they must be able to teach. An elder is expected to be actively involved in communicating the truth of God's word to the church. And we already talked about also refuting false doctrine that might be occurring in the church. I think, though, there are different levels, probably, of being involved at this position. We get an idea of that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, we get an idea that he's talking about the fact that elders deserve honor, and he says especially those who are doing preaching and teaching. So he gives kind of an indication that there may be some that are able to teach, but they might not be doing it regularly. There may be some that is their main task, is that they're regularly preaching and teaching. So I don't know that we have a real clear direction that an elder needs to be preaching and teaching all the time. But it is part of the qualifications that they are able to teach. And even in that qualification, I think that probably refers not necessarily to oratory skills, but more to the fact that they know their Bible, they know the Word, and they're able to defend the faith. When they hear things coming up, when somebody asks them a question, that they could respond to that question because they have a good knowledge and are able to teach really from that knowledge and understanding of the Bible and who God is. All right, what else? What else are they supposed to do? I want to look at 1 Peter 5. I find this an interesting passage. You can turn there if you want. It's a little bit longer one. 1 Peter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." All right, we have some different aspects that Peter is bringing out here about what an elder looks like, what it is that they're to do. They're shepherds. If I were to summarize and try and get at that passage, that would be the word I would use. They're a shepherd. And we've used that word at different times to refer to watching over a congregation, a flock, so to speak. They don't just have a position, you know, for power or control, but they love the church. That's part of what an elder does. He does that position, he takes on that responsibility because he has a love for the church. It says not because you have to, you know, and sometimes in positions in the church, I don't know if you've experienced it, but we need a position filled, and so we ask different people, and then we kind of get their arm and kind of start twisting it a little bit, you know, well, you know, and then the person is like, well, I don't know, you know, I don't, maybe I could do that and try it. That's not what they're talking about here. He says, not because you must do it or because maybe somebody's twisting your arm, but because you look at it as a responsibility, a calling, that you feel, yeah, you feel called to do it, and you want to do it. You love the church, and you want to do your part in taking care of the church, to look at it as a privilege. And not really either looking at it as maybe a CEO of a company, or a manager, or even a board member. We think of those positions, other positions in the secular world, in your business. It's a lot different than that. We can't look at it in that way. Because those people tend to look at their companies in a whole different way than what is being described here of how an elder should look at the church. They should want to serve the church, and that's really a key point here. Eager to serve. Not because they have to, not because they're looking for money. If there's pay involved with that, not being greedy. And really not lording it over them. Not looking at it as a taskmaster position of, now I have a position of authority, so I can say these things and these people need to respond to it. Acts chapter 20. I love this passage here, 28 and 29, verses 28 and 29. It gives us a little better idea here. And this is where Paul is meeting for the last time with the elders at the church in Ephesus. I think this meeting was a very emotional time. Paul knew he was never going to see these people again. He had an idea, a feeling that For some reason, this was going to be the last time he was coming through here, and he was right. And so he's giving some final instructions to this group of elders that he placed in this position at the church of Ephesus. And it's interesting to think of it that in that context as he speaks to them. What would you say to a church maybe that you started, had a lot of influence in being involved there, and then you knew that this was the last time you were going to be there, and you were turning it really all of it over to them, that local church, to take care of the flock? And this is what he says to the elders. He says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." Sounds a little grim in some ways. After I leave, I know that savage wolves are going to come in and they're going to ravage the flock. But I think he's given them a reality check in some ways. He's saying, you know what? The responsibility you have is not going to be easy. There is going to be things that happen. They're going to come in. There's going to be potential divisions in the church. There's going to be people that are going to be talking about things that aren't true. And you're going to need to deal with that. You're going to need to protect the flock as best that you can, to guard over it. And so he's making a plea, really, to them to take that seriously, to be that shepherd that they've been appointed to be, to watch over that flock. And I think as we talk about this idea of elders, too, we need to keep in mind whose church this is. Sometimes maybe in that position, elders might have the temptation to think, well, this is my church, this is our people. And Paul brings out the fact, he says, be shepherds of God's flock. Be shepherds of God's flock. It is all in God's hands. He's the one that is really ultimately guiding and leading the church. Christ is leading the church. And yes, we have others that have responsibilities in that they've been given, but ultimately it is God's flock and Christ is leading it. The chief shepherd is leading it. All right, so that kind of sums up that area. I want to look at one other verse I think is interesting to look at. James chapter 5, verse 14. Anybody know what the elders are doing in that verse? What are they called to do? It says there's called to pray for the sick. Remember that verse? It talks about if you're sick, you're to call the elders, and they're to pray for you, pray for healing for you. I haven't seen that happen a lot in this church where people have called us as a group. We've had it happen some. But I would encourage you that to use your elders in that way, that when you are struggling with something, call the elders team and ask them to pray for you. After church, gather them together and say, would you pray for me? And pray for healing for them. And it's interesting, I was looking at that passage a little bit. It seems to me that the passage always also talks about that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I think what this is really speaking to is that when we are struggling, when we are in trouble, when we're sick, who are the people that we would want to pray for us? And really, the ones that we would want to pray for us, whether they're elders or anybody in the church, would be those people who are spiritually mature. Because we know that they'll take this seriously. We know that their prayers will be taken seriously by God. And so whether it's an elder or whether it's somebody else in the church who is spiritually mature, those are the people that we are to go to ask for prayer and to pray for us and pray for healing in this case, which is listed. All right, should I want to be an elder? Do you want to be an elder? Well, It's a good question. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, this is Paul speaking again, says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task." So if you listen to that, the answer would be yes. That as a man, that should be something that you should look at as a noble task, maybe to aspire to. It is a high calling. It's an important work. It needs men who are willing to carry out that work. But I think there's also caution that we need to take. It's not something to be taken lightly. If we look at James chapter 3, verse 1, it's one verse that I've thought about often. James says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." And I've always wondered, what does that mean as one who is in a teaching position? It makes me a little nervous sometimes thinking about that. And it should. It should, because people in those positions need to take them very seriously. No, we're never going to be perfect, and we're never going to quite interpret everything exactly right when we present it. But we need to take the responsibility seriously. Yes, it's an important task, and we should aspire to it, but take it seriously. And I think all men should be ready for this calling. Any man should be spiritually maturing so that he is ready to be able to take on that responsibility. And if you think about it, if discipleship is not happening in the church, if there isn't maturity, people growing in their faith, then we would really not have anybody to lead us. You think about that case. So there needs to be this discipleship happening. There needs to be growth happening where men are being made ready, really, to carry out this responsibility. All right, let's wrap up this with the last couple of questions here. What does it take to be an elder? I got 2 minutes. For my study, it seems that this is a position for men, from what I can tell in reading the New Testament. I don't have time to discuss that. If you want to talk about it later, that's fine. That's what it appears to me, that this is a position for men. And I also talked about it seems that it's important that there's a team of elders working together. The main passage I want to look at is 1 Timothy 3, and we'll read verses 2 through 7. It says, "Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same..." Sorry, I switched pages here. "Fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap." Well, we could preach a lot about all of those areas. But I think we could sum them up to say that we are looking at somebody who is spiritually mature, somebody who has grown in their faith, somebody who is an example to the congregation. And we looked at the one, it does say able to teach, teach others. And we could talk a lot about these qualifications. But we're talking about a spiritually mature person that we would be looking at to fill this position. Somebody who, you know, is able to set an example to the flock. We're not talking about a person who is perfect, but just someone who is mature. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Imitate your leaders." And we already read in 1 Peter that the elders are to be examples to the flock. This is the kind of person that we're looking for an elder. The kind of person we're looking for to serve here as an elder. They need to be spiritual leaders in the word, but they also need to be applying it and working it out in their lives. Wow, I'm out of time. Maybe I should have made this into 2 sermons. I'll just cover this quickly here. How should you treat an elder? There's some interesting verses here. I'll just touch on them and you can think about them. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." In Hebrews it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." And then 1 Timothy 5:19 says, "Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses." So if we're to look at that quickly, I think we would say that that position is worthy of honor and respect. And with that honor and respect is that they are to be obeyed if what they're saying is accurate with Scripture. We're to make their work a joy, if at all possible, to make the work that they give to the church a joy. And we're to be careful about criticism. They aren't perfect. They have their own problems. But be certain of an accusation in the same way we talked earlier about how you take a complaint to someone. Take it directly to that person if you have an issue with someone. Talk with them. Gain an understanding, a better understanding about what's going on. False accusations and gossip really do not contribute to the health of the church. They don't contribute to the joy of working in a leadership position either. So be careful about that. All right, that brings me to the last point there, and that is it's up to you to choose an elder. And you'll get an opportunity to do that next Sunday to nominate somebody. And so please take that seriously. If you're a committed part of this body of Christ and you're over the age of 16, then put in a name there on that. Think about it this week. Pray about it. You may want to write some names down right now that come to mind. And pray about it this week and think, who is it that that we should ask to take this important position? And just in closing, I would like to say that it's been a joy to serve with the people on the elders team that I serve on. And I would just like to commend them this morning. Our pastors get more attention, I think, and so this morning I'd like to give attention to our two lay elders, Keith Scheffel and Phil Hostetler, who have served at various times on the elders team. And for all of you who are in leadership positions, you know that sometimes in leadership we take some heat. And sometimes things are difficult. We face difficult decisions. And I have just really appreciated working with both of these guys over the years. And so thank you, Keith and Phil, for all that you've done on the elders team. Appreciate it, as well as Ryan and Ruben. So be thinking about who you should nominate, and we touched on a lot of things. If you have questions that you want to talk more about, I'd be glad to talk more about some of these things later.